Welcome to the Motherhood Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Lockwood, and on the surface, I teach you how to declutter your home so you can focus on what matters most to you as a mom, which I'm guessing isn't those laundry mountains, dishes stacked to the sky, and the tornadoes you clean up all day. My hope for this podcast is so much more than teaching you to declutter. I record all of my episodes live and in real time so that you can have the experience of a mom friend who gets you and is there for you. My audio isn't perfect, my kids might interrupt us, but the conversations we have are real, impactful, and proof that there are other moms like you that decluttering has worked for. If you want to join me and thousands of other moms for live episodes, go find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Motherhood Simplified and we'll welcome you with open arms. See you soon. Okay, everybody, welcome to today's episode where we are talking about decluttering and simplifying for kids, answering your questions with my kid. So I want to give you guys just a little bit of a disclaimer real quick about how I filtered the questions for her and why. Okay, she's here.
Hello.
I'll give you like 2 or 3 minutes and then you can come in. Okay. So, hey, Nina and Brianna. So, a lot of the questions that you guys asked were great questions, but after reading through them, I realized that a lot of the things that you were wondering were your adult perspective on what this is like for a kid. And I have to be completely honest that your perspective on this as a parent and as an adult is not the same as a kid. So, some of the questions I just can't ask her because she's not going to get it. It's not stuff that she thinks about because even at 10 years old, kids are still pretty egocentric, meaning that they don't care what other people have or what other people are doing or what other people's houses look like. And to be completely honest, I want her to hold on to that for as long as possible, right? What it came down to was a lot of the questions were centered around this comparisonitis idea. I'm staying on it with you. So I'll be like, I ask you the questions and we did it like we practiced earlier when I wrote down your answers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of the questions that you guys were asking were like comparisonitis questions and fear of judgment questions that kids just don't have until they are taught it. I know I gave it to her because we just got to keep her entertained. Okay. They just don't have that. They just don't care. So I don't really want to ask her those questions because I don't want to plant that in her head. I don't think that she needs it. I work really intentionally, and her and I talked about this, of like we get things and we have things and we keep things and we choose things because we like it and it feels good to us. And that's it. There's never been like judgment, feelings of judgment for like not having the latest toy or not having as much or less than other people or feeling like other people should have less, because that came up kind of too, is like, do you feel like she goes over to other people's houses and kind of like judges what they have? She doesn't. She really doesn't. Just like I wouldn't ever go into somebody's house and do that. I wouldn't want to instill that in her either. And just like I have worked really, really hard, and I hope that you all can agree that when we post pictures of our homes inside of this group, it's always judgment-free because it's not about what you have. It's not about that. It's about making your home and your life feel like you feel good to you. So I wanted to put that out there. Emily says, I have a 10-year-old too, so I'm just a loss. And she has some really good insight for the kids. And I think that this episode is, like I said, I want it to be something where you can turn it on for your kids and they can hear it from another kid. And maybe it helps them in some sort of a way. And I'm also aware that this 10-year-old phase is about the time when these things come up of like trends, keeping up with fads, wanting to make sure that they are you know, fitting in, but I still stand by the belief that I am going to do my absolute best to be like, you wear what you want because you like it. You have what you want because you like it and it feels good to you and it makes your life enjoyable. Right? Okay. Thanks for putting the deodorant on my face. Like I said, guys, this is a real deal episode full of all the kid things. If Kaylee pees on the floor, just be cool. Okay, I'll clean it up after. Nobody's gonna die. Okay, so the first question that they had for you, Brie, let's get Brie in here. So do you wanna just come over here, not on the camera, and just talk like by the mic? Okay, you come right here. But you do have to be kind of close to the mic so that they can hear for the recording. Okay, so what are, in your opinion, yes, hello, Kaylee. What, in your opinion, are the best things about a simplified home?
Your face.
And then I wrote these answers that you gave me. You don't want to do it? Okay, can I just read them the answers that we talked about then? Okay, so she's a little camera shy. That's okay. We did write down all of her answers. So, and if you feel like you do want to come up and talk, just let me know, like if you want something to chime in. Okay, so when I asked her, weird, there's no fan. Weird. Maybe because she bumped the mic. Maybe I unplugged the mic. Oh, wait, I know. It's because you're on my computer. Hang on. You're on my computer, so it's the computer fan, and you're, like, literally right next to it. Is this better? Let me know. I don't know what you mean, adjust it back again. I don't have anything to adjust. When I asked Brie what, because this is one of the questions that you guys asked, what is one of the best things about a simplified home? These were some of her answers. The first one that she said, guys, and this is a big one, is that I don't have to worry about a chore list. I just do things daily. Okay. And I think that says it all. Like, we've never really done a chore chart or a chore list. And I tell you guys that. And that's why when you guys ask for, like, what's the best chore chart? Like, what's the easiest way to do this? I tell you, we don't have one. Like, we have downsized and decluttered and simplified everything so much that we can maintain our home by our daily routines, which means doing a nightly reset. You know, doing things like doing the dishes right after we make a meal, picking up as we go, and just having less. Okay, and I can tell you that when they were little in Alaska, way before we decluttered, that was not true. I was like, I tried all the chore charts. I tried all the checklists. I lived that life. I bought the fancy little, like, cute little chore chart things thinking that it was going to help, and it never did. What has helped us and what Brie notices is that she doesn't have to do chores. Sometimes she brings it up like, sometimes my friends do chores for money. And she's like,
but usually I end the sentence with, but I don't get that because my parents are just wasting stuff on when they should just be learning how to do it.
Right, right. So that's kind of how we run our house, is like we just take care of our house together. So that was the first thing that she said about the best thing about a simplified home. The next thing that she said about the best thing about having a simplified home is that she actually has room to play. And she gave, where's your blueberries? She gave a really good example of that I think a lot of kids can relate to. And that is that, like, if my room was too crowded. I wouldn't be able to play with, like, my calico critters or do my crafts.
And I would take it, like, I think it was, like, in Alaska or Florida, one of those places, but we had super messy rooms, and we just fit all our stuff in, like, a bin or something. And then whenever we tried to play with them, we'd, like, bring it all the way into the kitchen downstairs.
Yeah.
Just to get a place to play.
Yeah, and she's right. She's so right about that, because it makes it easy, and you're hearing it from a kid. When you declutter and when you simplify the amount of stuff you had, it makes it easy to play. And it wasn't like that for us before. It was like, if we wanted to do a craft or if we wanted to, you know, build something with Legos,
we'd have to take it outside.
Yeah, we would have to take it outside, or we would have to spend a good amount of time cleaning up before we even had room to do it. And now that we have decluttered and now that we have downsized the amount of stuff that we have, it's really easy to have the space to do everything that we want when we want to do it. It's not like we have to prepare and be like, we can't play Twister until you guys spend 30 minutes cleaning up. Like, kids don't want to play like that, right, Bri?
What?
They don't want to be like, oh, I have to clean up before I can play. No. Just want to play and then clean it up. So those were her two answers, and I love that. So in her eyes, it's easy to play. She has her space. I have a follow-up question for you, Bri, that maybe you can answer. Actually, we talk about it a little bit, but do you feel like you always know where your stuff is?
Yes.
Okay. She also knows where her stuff is at all times. Can you open that for her? My hands are full. Okay, so let's talk real quick then about your crafts, because everybody wants to know, like, what your favorite crafts are.
So, just, like, the supplies I use are, like, my favorite crafts to make.
All of it.
All of it. So, my favorite, my most
Come a little closer to the mic.
My most commonly used craft supplies would probably be hot glue, because I use it for everything. Mm-hmm. And then paint, because you can turn something like a graham cracker box into like a little playhouse for dolls or something.
Yes. So we do, I've told you guys this before, I let her, and this is something that comes up a lot in the group, is something that parents get frustrated by, is like the trash formations, right? Like Forky.
Oh, yeah.
The trash formations, like those are the favorite things for kids to create with, because they actually get to create. And I used to feel bad about it. Truth time that Breezy probably doesn't know is that a lot of times I encourage the trash formation type crafts because we didn't have a lot of money. So it was like, yeah, you can make something out of what we have here. But it allows for really good creative experiences. And like you said, hot glue is her favorite thing.
Hot glue I use so much.
Yeah, do you want to show them your graham cracker box thing? She has a little creation that she's going to show you. She made it last night, but hot glue.
Wait. These were supposed to be hot glued on. There are little beads to go on these. Little drawers. This was all made out of graham cracker box.
Yeah, this was a graham cracker box that she painted. Yeah. So, like, this is the big one. It's, like, the Costco size one. And then these are the individual graham cracker boxes.
So, little drawer. And then I'm using this as a desk organizer. You can put pencils, markers up top up here. And then I'm adding beads right here for the little doorknob.
Yes.
Or drawer.
So, I know Breezy pretty well. I know what kinds of crafts that she likes to make. When I asked her what her favorite kinds, I'm just going to read the list real quick.
Okay.
Because, like, we decided that the list is really long, and we don't want to just, like, bore you. But she likes to repurpose things, like cardboard. She likes to make things that are the kind of things that you can use when you're done. So she makes, like, little, like, doll houses. Well, I don't know.
Doll you clothing. Can call,
yeah, like, doll clothing, doll houses. She likes to make crafts with a purpose. Yeah, you can go get it. But as a mom, because I know that, I intentionally try to set her up with open-ended supplies that she can use and create things. I stay away from, like, the boxed sets, because I feel like most of the time they're like a one-and-done thing, and you make the thing, and then you're left with this obnoxious box full of, like, mismatched supplies that you can't really do anything with. So she's going to show you guys another example of something that she made, like, okay, with felt and...
These are little calico critters, in case you didn't know. And then I sewed this little hat for it.
And it's so then, cute.
When Grandma Maddie was here, we made a little house, a little car, and a bunch of clothes for little dolls.
Yes. See? Yes. So I give her, like, paint and beads and, like, string to make jewelry, hot glue, scissors, like, things that I know will last. I don't buy it in huge amounts. pretty small amounts, but like for her birthday, she basically had a craft birthday where we restocked all of the best supplies that we could think of. And she's been making stuff with it like ever since. Like I literally bought her, instead of like saving paper towel rolls, I bought her like a 15 or 16 pack of those paper towel, those toilet paper rolls. so that she can make stuff with those, because every kid loves those.
Rubbing stuff all over my cheek.
I know, she's a mess. Welcome to my life, Bree.
Wait, Bree's getting the camera on her.
She's rubbing deodorant all over her face. It's fine. It's fine. So a follow-up question, Bree.
Now she's saying it's fine.
Remember when we talked about like how do you decide like wait, hang on, I lost my notes. How do you decide like when
to clean up?
Yes, when it's time to clean up your room and time to get rid of things.
Usually this is the same for my room and my desk, but whenever something's lost and I can't find it and everything just looks all hiking. Everything just looks like a big ball of mess. That's when I start organizing it, cleaning it, making everything look nice.
Yes. Yeah. So I have told you guys, it is deodorant. I've told you guys before that, you know, I'm not like in their spaces of the house, I'm really not that strict about like what they have and what they decide to keep. Like it's their space, but I will sometimes guide them and be like, hey, you know, it's kind of looking, you know, it's been a couple weeks and I've noticed that you haven't really cleaned your room. Maybe we should go through it. And somebody asked this question. So Bree, I don't know if you remember your answers, but I have them written down, but would you rather me go through and get rid of all of your stuff for you, or would you rather decide?
So usually what we do is, it's not just mom doing it, because sometimes she doesn't know which clothes I like to wear the most, which clothes I like how they look. And so, but if I did it, usually I like to do it with her so it's more organized and everything. So we do it together, but how we do it when we go clothes shopping, we look through all my clothes, we see how much stuff we need and how much stuff I have. And then when we get to the store, we're like, okay, so we need to buy 3 pairs of pants, 5 pairs of clothes or shirts, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So her answer for that is that she likes it when we do it together, which I think is what I've always tried to teach you guys in here. You shouldn't be going behind their back and just getting rid of all of their stuff. I think sometimes if you're like in a extreme situation where it's just, I mean, use your judgment, obviously. If there's trash everywhere, you can go through and do a clean sweep of the trash. But especially as they get older, doing it together and kind of giving them guidance and advice on like, do you really need this? Like, do you think this is a good idea? So, hang on. Some questions that you asked.
Most of the time when we go clothes shopping, it's about time that most of my clothes don't even fit me anymore. So
yeah. So like an example, we wanted to tell you guys like how we do clothes for her, because I want her to pick clothes that feel good for her. But I also want her to be mindful of a budget and mindful of how much work she's actually having to do.
She's trying to eat it.
Yeah, it's fine. Just okay. It's like an organic deodorant. Like she's fine. But the first step, like she said, is we go through her closet when we're doing her clothes. We go through her closet. We see what fits, what does not fit. That's the first place that we start. And then we take it a step further and I ask her, like, do you still like to wear this? Do you still like the way this looks? And she'll be like, meh, yes, no. And there's no right or wrong answer. But then we're able to go shopping with a plan and be like, okay, like winter's coming up. You have one pair of jeans and 6 pair of shorts. Like, we need to get you some jeans, right? Derek's sending us some text messages. Or same thing with like shirts, or like, okay, it's winter's coming up and you have no hoodies. Like, we need to get you like a nice warm jacket and a hoodie. And then
we don't buy clothes. Say it just became summertime and it's getting really hot. It's like 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you buy all these winter clothes just so you can say you have winter clothes for when it comes 5 months later.
Right. Right. She picks up on everything. Now let's talk about toys real quick, because you guys also asked about toys, and you guys asked about how she feels about like fad toys and trending toys, and kind of like the disclaimer that I gave you guys at the beginning of the episode. She said, "I don't even know what that means."
Yeah, I don't know what any of the new popular toys are. I just buy whatever I like, not what everyone else is buying.
Yeah.
Just yeah. So I can say I have stuff that I like.
Yeah. So let's tell her about how we do toy shopping, because I think she'll probably agree, like her dad is the one that usually takes them out. Like,
yeah. Right?
Like he took them yesterday and she came home with a llama head. Yeah, go get it. This is when I can tell them. But my husband is the one usually that like takes them out for all the fun toys and stuff. Like, it's not that we don't believe in not buying toys. It's just that, I don't see the point in it. Like when I take them shopping for things, like I want it to be like a fun kind of a treat experience, not something that is just expected. Like they just expect to have toys all the time. Here is what my husband came home with her yesterday with.
So we went to Dave and Buster's after having pizza, and I ended up buying this amazing llama head.
I know you guys on the podcast can't see this, but it's like this stuffed llama head that goes right over her face. And it's awesome.
Llama.
It's awesome. So it's not the llama. It's not that we don't believe in not buying toys or splurging or spending on them. It's that we want to do it in a practical way, and we want it to do it as more of a treat. So Breezy, like, let's tell them about a time every few months I will be like, okay guys, like, let's go get you something fun. You want to tell them how we do that? Like we just do with the Legos.
So usually what we do, it's really hot in that llama suit.
Yeah.
Usually what we do is before we go toy shopping, we figure out like a specific type of toy, like Legos or action figures.
Or Calico Critters.
And then usually when we get to the store, we just look in that aisle and mom gives us money limits, so we're not spending $100 on a Lego set. Right. And so it's like $5 to $10.
It depends on the day, but yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. And then it's like if we chose Legos, then we would just stay in the Lego aisle, Lego section, and then we pick out a Lego set that we each want.
Yes. So even when like, so that's her perspective of it as a kid. And then my perspective of it as a mom, and like when my husband took them to Dave and Buster's yesterday, it's like, we want you to have things, you know, that you want. We want you to have fun. We don't want you to feel like you have to deprive yourself just for the sake. And this is way beyond a kid's comprehension, but I don't want you guys to feel like you have to deprive yourself too for the sake of minimalism or decluttering or whatever, but being intentional about it and paying attention to like how much you're spending and what you're buying and how is it going to serve you? Like, you know, it's really easy to walk into Target and spend $100 on toys that sit there forever, never getting played with. So maybe some people think it's too extreme or too rigid, but I do like teaching them to like go in with a plan when it comes to, especially as they get older, when it comes to buying their clothes and when it comes to buying their toys, just like as an adult, you know, I don't want to be going and blowing all of my money on pointless home decor at Home Goods. I don't want them to, you know, have those same habits as an adult when they grow up, because I had those habits and I had to unlearn them, right? Being intentional is not deprivation. So like I said, when my husband takes them to Dave and Buster's, there's a money limit and that's it. They can play the games, they can do things, and it's kind of a splurge, just a splurge, because it's not about depriving yourself. Okay, so I'm looking for the questions. Okay, so one of the questions that you guys had is, what would she say to a kid who is struggling to declutter or get rid of things? And I have your answers here if you don't remember them, because this was kind of a hard question for her. If you want me to, this one.
The one where you can you read that one?
Yeah. Okay. So this one was kind of hard. Like I said, some of the questions were
harder for me to answer.
Yeah, but we did find some things. So she said that if a kid is struggling to declutter or let go of stuff, she says if you can just look around and realize that you can't find your stuff and it's always messy, then you should get rid of some stuff, because that's not really fun, right? It's not really fun to live in a space where you can't find the things that you want to play with.
And then this part I was just kidding about. You could use this way, but I said you should do it Marie Kondo style. You can say, does this spark you joy or is there no joy?
Yes. But it's true. It's true, though. I mean, Marie Kondo is who she is, and that is always a good question to fall back on. Like, am I really having fun in my room when mom is always complaining about me not cleaning up, or mom is spending all of her time cleaning up? Oh, here's one. This might help you, Brie, but what if you went to a friend's house and they asked you for help, like decluttering their rooms? How would you help them?
First I would go over. Oh gosh, I don't know.
We might have to come back. Some of these are kind of hard for her, 'cause like I said, kids, they can't. That's my job as an adult. Like, kids don't really comprehend it. Like, they're so egocentric that they can't really understand it. But like I said, as a mom, the way that I help her do it is go in with her and start with the most practical things. Does this fit you? Do you even play with this? You know, tell me, and if they're old enough, you can say things like, tell me the last time you actually played with this, and tell them things like, just because it's in your room doesn't mean that you've been playing with it and doesn't mean that you still want to play with it, because they're likely playing with the same things and they're just around all of that stuff. They're just used to being around it, and it's scary to let it go. The kids' rooms do not get a nightly reset. Because like I said, I don't micromanage their spaces. I just don't. They have to make their beds and they have to do their own laundry. But I don't micromanage their spaces and make them do a nightly reset in their space. But they do have to participate in the nightly reset of like the rest of the house with me, like the living room and the toys and the playroom areas. They do have to help with that. But I want them to have and learn the lessons of taking care of their own spaces. But if I do notice, like I said, if I do notice that it's getting out of control, I will go in. If they were hardly 4 and 2, would you do one? Yes. And we did. When they were that little, we did do their room every night, because it wasn't really their space at that point. It was my space that held their stuff, because they were 4 and 2 and they just aren't to that point where they can handle their stuff on their own. So I hope that helps you for like helping kids. There's lots of good, like the toy podcast episode. Thanksgiving. Oh my God, her face is so shiny. The toy podcast episodes, have a lot of insight into how to do this. The Purge-a-thon that starts on August 5th has a lot of information on how to do this. And of course, any of the courses go really in depth on how to do this with the kids. What were you going to say?
I was thinking how would I help someone clean up.
Okay.
So like maybe I don't know, because I don't usually do this.
Like, do you remember when we went to Savannah's house and did it?
You did that one.
I did that one. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you did? What did you do with Sloane?
I just helped her clean it up. I didn't really tell her what to do.
You just helped her?
Yeah.
She just did it.
I would start with like 4 categories. And it would be clothing, crafts, toys, and decoration. And then whichever one has the most, just laying on the floor, start with that, clean them up, find a place to put them. Mm-hmm. So, like, say clothing, they had, like, all of their clothes scattered along the floor. Nat had the most out of her room. And so she would clean up all the clothes. Then she had so much decoration laying. Then she would clean up all the decoration. And then all the toys and the crafts. Yeah, that's my eye. And then if there's anything else, like any random stuff, I would do that last. So then you can just change it into 4 categories. So it's just 4 categories when she starts to clean it up.
Perfect. So I love that. I love that. And that's actually a very Marie Kondo style decluttering, or, you know, task management, whatever you want to call it, because you start with one category and you do that entire category start to finish, which means that you can, you know, do all, like, focus on one area first, focus on the clothes first. Yes.
Like, comment down below. We're doing like bloopers.
Yeah, she wants to show you guys some good YouTube videos that are funny.
That are bloopers. So I think we're gonna put the link wherever you put that. Do you know where we're gonna put it?
In the comment section.
In the comment section.
Just say in the description of this video.
In the description of this
video. We're going to give you some funny videos to watch.
So you can comment down below some very funny videos that you found, and we'll create a little try not to laugh video at the end.
Yes. That's what she wanted to give you guys, because it's all about having fun. So they say they love that. We do that sometimes, clean it in layers. As a friend, what stuff do you like to play with at your friends' houses?
Usually we end up playing with, because most of my friends have those little like Shopkin calico critter things, mm-hmm. and they have those houses they made, so we play with those. What?
It's basically the same things that she has here.
Yeah, and then we go outside and we pretty much make up games to play outside, and then she had like one of these. She had like two panda ones, and so we jumped on a trampoline with these on our head, mm-hmm. which was fun.
So kids are pretty universal, I think, in that they all like to play with the same kinds of things. And just another mom tip, because she confirmed it, they like the same kinds of things. And if you guys have seen any of the posts about what kinds of toys we have in our house, a lot of the toys we've had for about a decade, because toys are universal. Toys are universal.
Kaylee thinks I'm a different person when I keep the llama head on. She thinks I'm like a fluffy llama.
So like, Kaylee will play with Shopkins and calico critters. She's here. She's not even two. And Derek and Bree, who are 8 and 10, still play with calico critters because they like making the storyline. They like making the storyline. They like being able to play open-endedly. And they like to be able to play outside. Okay, we're getting to Kaylee's limit. Okay, so
Kaylee, come here.
A little bit, because every time you do that, they hear it really strong on the mic. It's okay. She's okay. I did ask her if she was going to tell a kid or help a kid declutter her room, like, what kind of questions would you ask? I asked her, like, what kind of questions do you ask yourself when it comes to getting rid of things? And she said, do I want it? So you can have your kids ask themselves, do I want it? Can I use this? Is it just going to sit there making things messier? So those are the three questions that she had when it comes to, like, getting rid of stuff with your kids. Mm-hmm. And I know this episode is kind of all over, but that's perfect for kids, right? Because that's how kids work. Okay, so another person asked the question, and I was actually really surprised by her answer, because she, like, answered it immediately with no prompts and no help. But somebody asked, how does a simplified home, or do you think a simplified home helps you in school? Do you remember your answer? Because I wrote it down.
Yeah. So I said that. It helps me focus a little more in school. Like, you guys at work, sometimes people at work, and when they can't focus on what they're doing, they're just like, okay, so when I get home, I need to clean the bathroom, I need to clean up outside, I need to make my bed, I need to clean our second bathroom, I need to clean up the playroom, stuff like that. And so it helps you focus more, so you're not all worried about your home. And did I say homework? I said homework.
Yeah, you talked about homework too.
Yeah. And for homework, instead of moving everywhere because your house keeps getting messier and messier, you can just have one spot for homework. And again, it helps you focus on it because you're not like, so after this, I need to clean up the whole house, right?
Yes. They said she gets me. Yeah, and it's true. And that answer actually honestly blew me away because I didn't think that she picked up on that. I didn't think it was something that she paid attention to. But looking back on conversations that we've had with her, because school in California is really different than Idaho, she had so many projects this year that she had to bring home. And she was always like, I have so many things I have to do, like so many, like the Gold Rush project and the Everything Else project. And that was nice for me to hear that she could go to school and have all of those running lists and tasks and things that she had to get ready for and prepared for, and I had to get ready and prepared for. And she was like, it's easy at home. I always have my same spot. I didn't lose stuff. So that was a really good question. Whoever asked that question, thank you, because that was really good insight for me as a parent, that even though she's not doing that school stuff at home necessarily, she recognizes that home is an easy place to be, so that, you know, she can kind of deal with that and get all of her stuff at school done. Okay, I'm just going through the notes because we've kind of jumped around all over, but we got, oh, I don't know if you remember your answer.
Oh, come here, Kaylee.
They want to know where you, okay, here, you take it and touch them. They want to know where you do your homework.
Where I do my homework.
Kaylee, okay. You want blueberries?
So usually I do my homework downstairs on the table. Because after school, it's like 2:30 when we get home. And so when I do my homework, I go downstairs into the kitchen, and I sit on the kitchen table, and I have a snack, and I go do my homework. Usually, I go downstairs into the kitchen table, like I said.
Done. But I think we covered everything. If you guys have follow-up questions, put them in the comments, and we will answer them for you guys. Hey, friend. Did you love this episode? If you did, I would love if you took a screenshot of it and shared it with somebody else, okay? The whole point of this is to create a community of moms who get each other, who support each other, and who, when they find something that helps them, they share it with somebody. So I would love if you shared this podcast with somebody, with maybe just a little note about how it helped you or how it inspired you, so that it can help somebody else. I would also love it if you left me a review. Leaving a review lets me get better stats on the internet and blah, blah, blah. Basically, it helps me help more moms like you. I would so appreciate it. If you hated this episode, I'm sorry, but I'm also kind of impressed that you listened to it all and you're still listening. So still leave me a review, still share it, because I'm sure somebody can benefit from it. I'll see you guys on the next episode.